Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio, where two dudes talk about stuff that dudes talk about. We are Jim and Rick. Our website is on Facebook. Our page is actually With All Dude Respect. And without further ado, I'm going to bring in my fellow dude. Jimmy, you there?
I'm here. How's it going, Rick? How you doing?
I'm all right, man. How was that opening? Sort of.
That was beautiful.
Semi-douchey.
Yeah. No, it works. It's you. It's live. It's whatever it is.
All right.
It's what it is. Yeah, it works for me. Yeah. Want to do it again?
How you
no,
doing?
No, Rick. How am I doing? I'm good. I realize I'm living the dream. I just have to relax into it and not be like, here I am. I'm living my life. I'm writing. I'm publishing books. I'm doing all these things that I thought that would be a cool life. I'm doing them, but I'm still stressed out, like fearful of the future. So fuck the future. I'm doing great right now, and I'm living the dream. I just need to relax into it.
Wow, I like that. That's great.
So,
yeah, you have, you know, you know, for some of the people out there that might not know, you live in Southern California, which is like, if I had a choice, one place to pick out of the whole entire country, that's where I would live.
Yeah.
You know, you have a beautiful wife and a very nice relationship, and you know, you do a ton of cool shit. So me looking at you, you know, I would agree with you, and if there's anything I could do to help you relax into it, just I'm here for you.
I think the meditation, we talked about that in the past, like just sitting still, recognizing just the present moment, the greatness there. I said, oh yeah, this is what I got. I always feel better too after reviewing my like resume or my bio. Like online, it's like, oh yeah, okay, so I have done something, okay, because it's always a sense of I'm not doing something yet, or I haven't done it yet, or I have to go forward. I'm always looking forward. Whenever I look back and see what I have accomplished, it's like, oh, I guess I can take a break, at least a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so how's it going out there in New Jersey, or Ewing, New Jersey?
Yeah, we just had a little snow thing go through yesterday. And it's great that you brought up being present, because in the past, I don't know if people know, I'm a property, I'm a real estate investor. I own a bunch of rental properties, and you know, in the wintertime it's a little stressful, because you know, I have to take care of some people, make sure people are safe. And whenever we get like a snow event, I always get a little anxious. In the past couple of years, like, I would always be like, you know, like how you say, like what, thinking ahead, like what's possible, what could happen. And what's great is this year is the first year that I haven't really done that. I've just really stayed present, and it wasn't that bad. It was cool, because, you know, when it gets sort of like 4 inches or more, like everybody pretty much stays home and hunkers down. So it's quiet, it's calm. You know, you really can't do anything, so you don't do anything. And I just really enjoyed that. So it was cool. And that's what's going on here. I was telling you before this call, very busy day, which for me is not, you know, not the norm, but it was great. And it actually felt good, because I had to squeeze a couple things in before the show, because I had a hard stop. And it was so cool to be in action like that and not stressed out. And like, sort of like it, like, wow, I'm like, now I know, because I know some, you know, some other people that they're always like that. I'm like, I get why. I get the high. I get the challenge. I get there's like some drama to it. And it was cool to be able to sit in that and not get all twisted up, or, you know, tightened up, or getting anxious over it. So that's what's going on over here, man.
Didn't the East Coast get slammed? I mean, I know Maine got like 12 inches up there of snow. You only got about 4 inches, you said?
Yeah, well, yeah. For around here, I think we got 4 to 6. I don't know. It's funny, because I was in I had to go to City Hall in Trenton today, and it seemed like there was a ton of snow. And I'm just and I'm north of Trenton, and I got like double the snow. It's like so bizarre. It's like, you know, where we're at. It's like, you know, it's not really that far, and how much the totals went up. But I'll say the East Coast, we didn't get slammed, but the Northeast probably got slammed. Like the, you know, Long Island's like, you know, it just juts out there. So all these Nor'easters that blow up, just blow over it. And then, you know, go right up into Massachusetts and the Maine, and it dumps a ton of shit. Cause they, you know, they usually historically have the colder air. But yeah, they got it, but it's great. You know, I have friends that are up there and they're like, yeah, let it snow, bring it on. And in Jersey, we're like, you know, go ahead.
I was talking to my buddy Dennis up in Maine. He's talking about 12 inches of snow, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I can kind of relate to the shifts. We went from, I'm telling you, we went from 72 to 70 in a matter of days. It was pretty tough, 70 degrees. But we dealt with it, though. You know, we dealt with it best we could. You know, we joined together as a community. We joined together. We circled up, and you know, we hunkered in the public park, you know, on a picnic, and just, you know, decided how we're going to deal with this, and flew some kites, and we were done. So it's fine.
That's amazing. That's what I mean. Well,
would you actually ever move out here? Or no?
I don't know what. There's probably some places out there that I'd like to go, but probably more into the desert, like more of the smaller towns away from, like San Diego and La Jolla, and I have a friend who's a speech pathologist, and he travels. He does contract work, and in the wintertime he goes out to California, and he stays. I think he goes to Palm Desert. Is that the place? Palm Desert.
Yeah, up towards Palm Springs, yep.
And is that like, that's like not as busy, and it's more like desert-like, right?
Oh, yeah. It's all yeah. Even Palm Springs is kind of pretty lax up against the mountain there. But,
yeah. He likes Joshua Tree. Yeah, he likes like Joshua Tree and stuff like that. So it's, so I'd probably do that, you know?
Yeah, I remember the first time I went to Joshua Tree. You know, you're driving in a car, so you got the radio on. There's noise. You're used to noise in the city and in the world. I drove out to Joshua Tree, got out of the car, and my first sentence was, "It's so quiet." It is like the absence of noise. You don't know how much noise there is in just basic, you know, living in the city or just living in the world. But, man, you go to the desert, something like Joshua Tree, it's like peace. You could hear your heart. I mean, it's pretty amazing. But
yeah, that's awesome, man. So what else is going on? What else is going on there?
And over here, just a lot of writing. I'm writing a sitcom now, putting that together. I went to the DGA Awards, the Directors Guild Awards in Beverly Hills. Put on a tux and walk on the red carpet.
You look sharp.
It's interesting, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess I've always had that as a kid. Like, you know what? I want to be around the stars. And it's not really just the stars. It's more like the creativity and the it's just really exciting. Like, I remember going to Universal Studios when I was just a little kid, and this is where they had, you know, sets for, I don't know, Emergency, the TV show Emergency, and even the Here's Lucy show. And I remember just like 5 and 6 years old, and just going, this is cool. There's just something about being creative, writing something, acting, having actors act it out, and touching lives, like having people laugh or cry. Just get so excited about it. So being at the DGA Awards, being around all these, I mean, top directors. These are the top 5 directors that are nominated for the Academy Awards as well. And, you know, it's just
very cool.
It's good to be around, you know, rubbing shoulders with people I want to rub shoulders with and work with. So that was cool.
Yeah. Hobnobbing with the Huber Scoochers.
Yeah. Good time. Just also, you know, the other truth is just realizing, oh, wait, look, they're people. They're people. You see them on the big screen or on TV. It's all distant. It's all so distant. Wait a minute. Those are people. I'm a person. I see some kind of connection here. It's not as far away as it could be or seem.
Yeah. I like that. I went to a custom motorcycle show last week in Atlantic City, and I didn't know what I was in for. It's my first one. I went, and they had all these custom bikes, but they had like these guys from, like, they had you know, the big one was a West Coast Choppers with the Tuttles, and his son Paul Jr. was there, and it was, you know, bizarre. It's like, holy shit, there's, you know, and I'm like, and then I thought to myself, I'm like, that's the same. It's the same thing. I'm like, he's just a dude. Like, he's just sitting there. I'm like, you know, he poops, he eats, you know, he had a shower.
Right.
Yeah, he's just a dude. And it was pretty cool. Like, 'cause, you know, I don't, out in California, you probably get exposed to more of that than I do. And it was another guy, too, from a smaller show. But I saw him, made eye contact, like, gave him a little nod. He gave me a nod back. He's like, it's sort of, you know, it's sort of cool. You know, he's like, hey, that dude's on television. It sort of made me think. I'm like, that guy can do it. Like, well, you know, anybody can do it. I guess it's, you know, especially reality shows, because it's not, you know, it's not like you have to be a, you know, you have to be an actor or an actress or learn it, you know, that skill or that trade. You can just, you know, you're sort of just being yourself. And I guess the douchier you are, the more marketable you are.
Yeah. I was actually sitting at the table.
Or cool.
Yeah. I was sitting at the table with the, you mentioned reality show. I was sitting at the table at the award show last Saturday with the and the nominee for the reality show director was sitting there, and he actually won. And so it's like,
can I guess who he is?
What's
John
that?
DeMol?
Oh, what the hell was his name? I'll look it up here in just a sec. But so sitting there, and the guy ends up winning, and I'm going, you know what, I'm just going to, as long as we're playing this game called life, it's all a game, you know, just, it's a play, it's a play, for Christ's sake. So since we're playing, I'm just going to play like I'm in his entourage. I mean, I'm sitting right, like, two seats away, and so I just, like, jumped up, I gave him a high five, yeah, we won. It was fun, and he, you know, and then later on, somebody mistook him for me, mistook me for him. Walked up and said, congratulations. Yeah. I'm like, thank you so much. Anyway, no, I really appreciate that. Where's my award? Where's my award? But I'm looking them up right now. But, yeah, just it's
do,
fun to play.
Drop some names.
Here it is.
Drop some names. Who's there that I would know, that the listeners would know?
Well, first I'll say his name is J. Rupert Thompson, and he directed American Grit, the finale over the falls. It's on Fox. It's a reality show. But who was there was people like Emma Stone. Hi. Emma Stone. Do you know Emma Stone?
Oh, yes, I know Emma Stone. Do you know what her favorite movie is?
I don't. Godfather.
Her favorite movie is a movie called City Lights. It's so obscure. It's so ridiculous. It's absurd. I saw an interview with her. It's like these really high-end actors and actresses. It's like they can't even say, oh, my God, I love Dumb and Dumber, because they're like, they'll get thrown out of Hollywood. So she's like sitting there. She's like, they're like, okay, what is your favorite movie? And she's like, I like the movie City Lights. I'm like, what? I'm like, shut the fuck up. I'm like, you probably didn't even see City Lights. I'm like, your favorite movie is The 40-Year-Old Virgin. And you were pissed you didn't get cast in it, you asshole. You know? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Stop being so full of yourself.
People do that with music, too. As soon as the band gets really big, then it's like, oh, it's not cool to like them anymore, so I don't like them. Yeah. If everyone else likes them, I don't.
Or if they get cool, if they get big, then they have to say, all right, who do you like? And they're like, I like Leonard Cohen. It's like, shut up. No, you don't. You're a punk band. Like, you know, they'll ask Mark Hoppus, who do you like, man? Or he'll, like, name somebody, like, in Black Flag, like, a band that nobody even heard of. Like, what? That's a friggin' – that's an insecticide, you know? Black Flag's actually, I guess, an old punk band, but I've never heard their music. And
that's
you might
my
know
favorite
them,
band. No, I'm just kidding.
Get out of here. See, look at you. Sold out already. You sold out, bitch.
I like the Beatles. I admit I like the Beatles. But I do like one band that no one else probably likes, not because they're cool, but Supertramp. Yeah, Supertramp. Ooh, 70s.
Take the Long Way Home?
Anyway. There it is. Yeah. Oh, wait. You...
Yeah, I like Supertramp.
They're pretty damn cool. Oh, well, then now I don't. No, just kidding. But let's see. Oh, I was going to say. Oh, wait, some other folks that were there. Now, one reason I was very excited to go because one man was there. Kevin Nealon. You know who that is? He's been on Saturday Night Live. He's an actor. He's on actually the sitcom that I'm looking to write an episode for. He's on a new sitcom.
Cool.
I don't know if you've seen it. Man with a Plan with Matt LeBlanc.
I saw previews. Yeah, I see it advertised and stuff, but I really don't watch sitcoms anymore. But I did see the thing, and the cool thing is I actually, when I was a stagehand for a minute, I worked on the scenery for Saturday Night Live when he was part of the cast. And it was hysterical because I guess he was doing something in between sets, and he just literally lifted off that lid of fake hair that he had and put it like right on the side of the stage, and it just sat there. Like someone could have just ran off with his toupee, but it just sat there.
Oh, really?
It was amazing.
Yeah, that guy's hilarious. He's the only one that went off. He went off book because they have this, as you could probably imagine at these award shows, they have a teleprompter. And so, you know, when the stars go up to the podium, you could tell they're reading because sometimes they're like, trying to figure it out. Well, I'm sitting in a seat where you can see the teleprompter. You know, you can see what they're supposed to be saying. And he's totally going off book. He's like, I'm just going to make this stuff up. And he was hilarious. It was cool. And then Nicole Kidman and a lot of big directors were there. But mostly I just love the dessert. Oh, my God. They had some great dessert. This chocolate cakey thing with this... Oh my God! I have the menu right here. I know we're going to be talking about the Super Bowl, but this is like really important.
I think you took a picture of the dessert, and then
I did.
The funny thing is I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, if you're in California and you're at one of these things, I'm probably like the main dish is probably a vegan dish. Then like your secondary dish is like, I'm thinking this. I'm like, it's probably a vegetarian dish. Then I'm thinking, you know, some animals just want to like eat like a steak or something, but everybody who gets a steak gets absolutely like this shitty look at them because they're eating meat. You know what I'm saying? Is that the case or no?
No, I did ask for a vegetarian meal and they got me this incredible lasagna, but it was short ribs and then polenta.
Ooh, okay.
Then the dessert was chocolate truffle dome and mocha Dora mousse, raspberry and vanilla coulisse. It's very French. With assorted berries and two white chocolate Starbucks first. That's in one little thing, and I know we're talking about football, but yes, that was reminds me of an episode of Friends where they're supposed to be talking about one thing, but then they start talking about food because that's what dudes also like. But anyway,
good food.
Yeah. So should we talk
like
about
cool
Sunday?
Thing.
The downer day.
I'm sort of over it, but. We can recap and talk about, you know, give our little spin on it, a little spiel.
So you did watch? Wait,
if you want,
you did watch the game.
So here's what I did, and this is probably what most people did, right? So, excuse me while I wash out my coffee cup. Everybody tuned in. I tuned in with a half an ear. As soon as the Falcons started kicking the shit out of them, now I'm like, I'm watching the destruction of the evil empire. I'm like, there's no way I'm tuning out of this. So as I'm dicking around with my tablet and online and reading and all this other shit, I'm like, cool. I'm like, so it's great. Cause I'm like, all right, cool. I'm watching them get killed. Then they come back from the half, right? All of a sudden the momentum turns, and in fucking football, it always seems to do that. Right. Then now it becomes for me wanting to see them kick their ass. It's me hoping that the Falcons can hang on, right? So now I'm sucked in because now it's getting close. Now it's a ridiculous game. So now I can't even shut it off. Now I don't want to watch it. I can't stop watching it. And And of course my adrenaline is going through the roof and I'm screaming at my wife, you know, not at my wife, but I'm like, all they need is one stop. They just need to stop it. They just need to stop it here. They just need a first down here. I just kept saying exactly. I'm like, this can't be happening. I'm like, this can't be happening. All it needs is one. All it needed was one twist of fate. And that game would have been, we wouldn't be, you know, we'd be praising the Falcons right now. But instead, like, they just got, you know, they got beat, but man, they got the worst comeback and the best comeback. It all depends on how you look at it. And, you know, it's, and it's like you got a team that's demoralized. You know, you're not going to see the Falcons near the Super Bowl for God knows how long. And, you know, and then you got a Patriot team that's like, you know, everybody's they're already talking about, do you think they can win it again, you know, one more time? I'm like, here's the takeaway. No matter who they play next year, if they get in, right, because I'm going to hope the whole season they don't, like I always do. And if they do, I'm not getting sucked in that this time. So I'm committing on live radio right now that if the Patriots are in the Super Bowl next year, I will not put it on at all. I'll follow
wow.
it virtually. Yeah, because I'm not going to go through that again.
You got sucked in. Because I remember the last show of, you know, with all due respect, you're like, I'm going to have it on in the background. It's going to be more like an eating day with you and your wife having a nice, I don't know, picnic in the house or something. And it turned into you screaming at the TV, I guess.
Yes.
Was she watching the show as well, this game?
She was doing some grad work and some school work and, had half a year like I did, you know, and
right.
I kept pushing my dessert in air quotes on, you know, on if they stop them. I'm like, I'm not having dessert until they stop them. I'm not going to have dessert until they stop them. And I even told my wife, I'm like, don't make me that until they stop them. As soon as they stop them, then I'll have, and finally I said, fuck it. I said, just make it for me. I had, my dessert, in air quotes, is it's a piece of cinnamon swirl bread. It's a small piece of bread, and my wife puts on she makes it for me. She makes it awesome. Natural peanut butter and strawberry preserves. It's just one piece. It's small, but it's so – it just put me on a desert island with that, and I'm good for the rest of my life.
Somehow,
so that was it.
Somehow talking about desserts on this show is a lot more fun than talking about the Patriots.
I don't know. So why don't you give me your experience of it, and then we'll shift back to desserts and fun food.
And fun food.
Or maybe we'll make that next week.
That's what two dudes talking about, food and dessert. Let's see. My experience was a Super Bowl party with about 50 people there. Fun, you know. Every year, Michael Folks from North County in San Diego. He's in our men's organization.
Yeah.
He throws a party, and it's really good. It's potluck. I brought a big cookie that was, dedicated to the Super Bowl. I had a little design on it. It was, you know, Super Bowl 51, and my wife stayed at home, so what I did was I just took pictures of the cookie. We're back to the dessert talk.
Right, you're looking right back to the dessert. Right,
no,
like
I'm
from,
taking pictures of the cookie.
Potluck. What I brought was a cookie, now you're, like, talking about the cookie. That's funny shit.
So I'm taking pictures of it, like, over time to give her updates on the party, you know, how many people have eaten the cookie to show it. Like, it's a circle. It's a round, kind of like a pie cookie. So I'm taking pictures of it, and slowly but surely, you know, people are starting to eat it. So I gave her all the updates. Maybe I'll post those pictures on our page. We'll see. So that was part of the Super Bowl. Picking out was part of it. Being with a bunch of friends is also it. The most fun I had at the party during the game was at halftime. No, I didn't watch Lady Gaga. I do what I always do every year. I have a football. I bring a Nerf football and a real football too. And I say, hey, Bill Oakes. He's another one of our dude friends in San Diego. Hey, Bill, let's go play. You know, let's go throw the ball. And I don't know why I always pick on him, but hey, Bill, because he's always game, right? So we go outside the backyard and we start throwing the ball around. And then here's the fun part. We talk about enrollment sometimes in our organization, enrolling other men into the organization.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's nothing more enrolling than just going outside with a football and throwing the ball out.
Mm-hmm.
It took minutes, just a mere minutes, before there was like six or seven kids circling up around, and like we're all throwing the ball. I'm playing three flies up. That was my favorite part, you know. That was the fun part of the game. Now, inside, during the game, I have to say, I was definitely depressed after the whole game was over, after the Patriots came back and then they won. I mean, it's great drama, you know, great drama, great game, great team, Patriots. Brady is a Superman. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. He's so laser-focused, such a winner. So it's interesting to watch that, but I was depressed, kind of like if you've been to a movie. Have you ever been to a movie where the bad guy wins? Very, maybe there's been two made in the history of movie making, because you gotta, what you do in movies, like any conflict or show, you have a good guy, bad guy, and you're pulling for the good guy. You figure out after a while who the good guy is, the hero. You pull for the hero. When the hero wins at the end, you have a feel-good feeling at the end, you go tell your friends. Well, this movie sucked, because I watched as, like you're saying, we could talk about that. The Falcons had an opportunity towards the end of the game. Well, first of all, they had an opportunity not to tank and to keep some momentum, but they had an opportunity at the end where all they had to do was kick a field goal. They were up by 8, I believe, at the time, and they're down on the 20-fucking-2-yard line. That's how they print it, too, in the papers, 20-fucking-2-yard line. And there's two things you don't want to do, and you, two things you can't do, get a penalty or get a sack. And they did both. I mean, talk about fuck up. And I just, when I watched that, I went, oh, Jesus, help us. This is not good. So when that happened, and then they're punting, they're giving the ball back to Brady with 3 minutes, and he's got 8 points to get. Oh, yeah, that's a big stretch for that guy and that team, you know, not. So
you saw it coming.
Saw it coming. I mean, we were texting a bunch of – I wasn't, because I know how it goes, man. Don't be texting – during the game to the other team fans.
Yeah.
Like
O'Keefe
and LaBarge, you know, New England punks, homers.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit. So don't do that. You know who you're playing. It's not over. It's like halftime. And the other thing I want to mention before we run out of time is the freaking 2-point play, all right? I haven't watched any highlights since then because I'm not interested. I didn't like the end of the movie, so I don't want to watch it later. So remember the last 2-point play? It was a screen to a wide receiver, and the other receivers on that side of the ball of the play were blocking. They were literally blocking as the ball's in the air. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's some kind of rule that says a legal pick. You can't block while the ball's in the air. Not even close to being called. Did you see that play?
Yeah. It was funny because when you and I were doing some show prep, it was I saw the play replayed on television again for some reason, and I stopped it and I rewound it, and I said, "Ooh," I said, "Yeah," I go, "There's a pick, man," and it was like it wasn't like not only it was blatant, it was like, and then yeah, so it's like then we brought up you know the possibility of you know the NFL and the integrity. It's just amazing. I don't want. It's 8:29, so I don't want to. I mean, 4:29. I don't want to get into that, but yeah, I saw it. I get it. I was, you know. So here's the deal. Soon as he went across the goal line, and I saw the rest hands go up, the TV was off. I had my hand on the button because I knew they were going in.
Right.
Because I didn't want to see any celebration. I didn't want to see anything. I just shut it off.
I'm exactly.
And
I'm out of here. And yeah. So, and then with the I don't remember the announcer. We could barely hear the announcers. The crowd was so loud and the party. But the announcer, I don't remember him saying anything about the pick. But then later, during the overtime, he was saying, "Oh, I really agree with that call from the ref. Illegal, something against the Falcons." And I screamed bullshit, like as loud as I could.
Yeah.
And I scared three people right around me. It was really beautiful. But,
oh.
There you go.
Hey, just one quick question. Out of 50 people who were there, how many were rooting for the Patriots?
Two.
Okay. 125. Yeah, probably the. Yeah. Probably was the national average.
So I have a new benchmark that I could always point to whenever my men's team wants to go quit mode. Like, I don't want to. Oh, yeah, what would Tom Brady do? He doesn't quit. Yeah. So I have a new a new benchmark to use. It's kind of fun. But, yeah, still hate the Pats. But let's get a good team. Let's get the Giants great. Let's get the Dolphins great. And let's show any team what it's worth, you know, what we're worth.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go, another 30 great minutes at least. Thank you, Ricky.
Yes.
Have a great weekend.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jimmy.
And we will see you another time with all due respect. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check us out on Facebook. With all due respect, have a great one. Ciao.
Take care, Jimmy. Adios.